الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading in the book by الشيخ محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى that he has entitled الكبائر, the major sins. And we have been reading from the portion of the author he has mentioned, Kabair al-Lisan, the major sins related to the tongue. We continue reading the author. He says, Babu man habahu an-nas khawfan min lisanihi. Babu man habahu an-nas khawfan min lisanihi. The chapter with regards to the one the people fear because of his tongue, the one that people have a haiba for. They have a haiba for him because of the fear they have from him with regards to his tongue. We know that the word haiba, normally it's used to refer to reverence and honor and respect that one will have. It's a type of fear that one will have for somebody, but it's a fear that's coupled with love and reverence, haiba. And the people of nobility, they have this. Also, sometimes people who are not necessarily loved, they will have a type of haiba, people of authority and people of command, and they will have a presence about them that they have some dignity with them or some respect with them. And this type of presence that they have is known as a haiba. And the people of righteousness and piety and the people of knowledge, they have this. But it could be likewise in other individuals, people of authority and the likes. Here the haiba is not out of respect. Here there are people, the author he's referring to, that one will avoid them and leave them. And he will show them respect, not for respecting them as individuals, but rather to be safe from their harm. Showing them some type of respect and being kind to them or courteous to them in order to be safe from the harm that they have with them. Because some individuals, they're known for evil, and they're known for shar, especially from the aspect of the tongue. So here the author, he's referring to this affair, the chapter of the one, the people, they have a haiba from him. They have a haiba from him, yani they have this reverence, but it's like a type of, yani they show him some type of courtesy, but out of fear of his tongue. Khawfan min lisanihi. Khawfan min lisanihi. So it's not out of respect. It's not out of respect for him as an individual, but it's with regards to hoping to be safe from him and being safe from his tongue and the evils that he carries with him. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Mentioning the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَيْلٌ. وَيْلٌ, it means, يعني, may he be destroyed. It's كَلِمَةُ Al-Halak, Wal-Azab, it's a dua, wail. The people of knowledge, they differed about this. Some of them, they said, as I mentioned, that it's a statement of tahdeed, Wal-Wa'id, and dua, meaning may he be destroyed, and may he be punished. And others, they mentioned that wail, it is a valley in the hellfire, wadin fi jahannam, that it's a valley in the hellfire. In any case, this is something that someone will say to someone who has done something wrong and should be punished or reprimanded in the likes like this. So Allah, he mentioned wail for who? Likulli humaza lumaza. Likulli humaza lumaza. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned al-humaza al-hammaz bil-qawl wal-lumaza al-lammaz al-lammaz bil-fi'l. Al-lammaz ay bil-fi'l, that the humaza, yani this is a word referring to the one who belittles the people with his statements. He finds fault and he belittles and he speaks ill about the people's reputations and their honor with his statements. And humaza, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the one who does that with his actions. The one who does that with his actions. Some of the people have mentioned contrary to that, that the humaza is the one with the actions and the lumaza is the one who belittles the people with his tongue. In any case, what is meant here, يعني يزدري الناس, يزدري بالناس وينتقص بهم. And he finds fault with the people, whether it's with his actions or whether it's with his speech. He's somebody who is always finding fault with the people and belittling them and pointing out their mistakes and making fun of them and laughing at them and putting them down and the likes like this. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned ta'an mi'yab, and the meaning of the humaza lumaza, ta'an mi'yab, the one who finds fault with the people and he speaks ill of them, and the one who picks out and blames others and mentions them in a bad light. And this is what has come. And also it has been mentioned from Rabi' ibn Anas rahimahullah ta'ala, al-humaza yahmizuhu fi wajhihi wal-lumaza yahmizuhu min khalfihi. And some of the intents or that which has been mentioned, yani for the meaning of these words, the one is the humaza, he's the one who finds fault and he belittles the people in their face, and the lumaza is the one who finds fault and he belittles them behind their back. And this meaning likewise has come, that and it is also come opposite from that likewise. And even in any case, these two words, they're similar in their meaning, and they both have the meaning of backbiting and carrying tales. Hammazin masha'in bin namim, hammazin masha'in bin namim, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned it in his book, and the like. So al-hamzu wal-lamzu is to speak ill of the people and to find fault with them and to speak bad about them and to point out their faults, whether it's done with the tongue or sometimes it will be done in actions and the likes like this. Maybe somebody will point at somebody and belittle them, or maybe he will stick his tongue out at somebody and belittlement of them, or he will move his face in a particular manner and he will move his head, yani indicating to individuals, and what he intends by that is to belittle them and to find fault with them and the like. So whether it's done in their face or behind their back, or whether it's done with the tongue, yani in speech or in action, all of this here is included. And this is something that is blameworthy. Humazatun lumazatun. Yani the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the ta here is for mubalagha. It's for mubalagha. So this is why they mentioned the meaning is hammaz wa lammaz. Yani ism mubalagha. So this is somebody who does this a lot. Kathirul hamzi wa kathirul lamzi linnas. The one who is always finding fault with the people and always belittling them and talking bad about them. And there are a number of manners that can be done, either in their face or behind their back, or with the tongue or with the actions. So this is what is intended here, and this is a major sin. And these people are threatened with a blazing fire, and with a blazing fire, yani waliyadhu billah, because of this action. So the author, he says, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن شر الناس منزلة عند الله يوم القيامة من ودعه الناس أو تركه الناس اتقاء فحشه. The author, he mentioned the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, that verily the people who have the most evil rank with Allah Azza wa Jal, the people who have the most evil rank with Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of resurrection, the people have left them, and they have abandoned them and turned away from them because out of fear of their indecency and their foulness and their evil. Out of fear of their indecency and their foulness and their evil. And this hadith, it has a story. It is known, Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrated this narration, and a man, he was approaching the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he seen him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بِئْسَ أَخُ الْعَشِيرَةِ, بِئْسَ أَخُ الْعَشِيرَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he seen that man coming, and then he said, oh, this is the evilest of his tribesmen. This man right here is a foul and an evil man. Yani the worst of his tribesmen, this person here, he was known for fisq. Yani he was known for disobedience, and he was known for sins and the likes like this, and for a foul and for being upon a foul way. And whenever he came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idhanu lahu," let him in. Let him come in. And then he was nice to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he spoke to him with good manners. And he said good words to him and was kind to him. And then after he took his need, he left. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked about that. She asked about that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he informed her, he said, you have never known me to be a hypocrite. You have never known me to be a hypocrite. And this is not what is intended here. And then he mentioned this narration. Inna sharra nasi manzilatan inda Allahi yawm al-qiyamah man tarakahu nasi itiqa'a fuhshihim aw itiqa'a sharrihim. That verily, O Aisha, the most evil and the worst of the people in rank and status with Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of resurrection are those individuals that the people leave them, those people leave them fearing their indecency and their vulgarness and fearing the foulness and the evil that they have with them. So this is an indication of a number of benefits. And from them is that the one who announces his sin, there's no backbiting for him. And the one who is known to be an open sinner and he has evil with him in his speech and in his deed, to warn from him and to mention him in an ill manner like that so that people are aware of him, this is not considered backbiting. This is not considered backbiting. And there's a number of affairs related to the issue of backbiting. And the author, he has a chapter and he's specific to the issue of al-ghiba. We take those details there, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned this about him. Also from the benefits of this affair is that it's befitting and proper for a person of intelligence and sound mind that if he has to deal with individuals who are known for evil, if he is forced in his daily affairs to deal with individuals who are corrupt and people who are known for indecency or vulgarness, that he should be courteous to them, yani, in order to get away from them and in order to avoid their harm. And sometimes we will have individuals that we have to deal with on a daily basis or from time to time in an occupation or in dirasa and studies and the likes like this. And these individuals, they're known for evil. Whenever one sits with them, they will backbite and they will belittle individuals, or they will have a foul tongue and they will speak about affairs that are indecent and not permissible. And they will have manners that are lowly. And a person, he will be, it bothers him to even be around them, but a person, he's forced to deal with them. And he would not want to deal with him. He would not want to be around him. Or even sometimes there are individuals like this, and a person, he doesn't have to be around them, but he will bump into them. Yani, he will see them on the street or somewhere or this place or that place, and he will have interactions with them. Any individuals that are known for lying or for backbiting or for carrying tales or for belittling people or for having sharr and evil with them in their speech or in their dealings. So if a person, he knows somebody like this, he will not face him in the same manner. And he will not deal with him in a harsh way. Rather, he will be kind to him and courteous to him long enough to get away from him. He will smile at him and say, how are you doing? How is your family? Everything's good. Excuse me, I have an appointment. Like this. And he will move around to avoid that person. To avoid that person. Because if one was to accompany him for long, he would draw him into the evil that he's in. And at very minimum, he would have to listen to the foulness that the person is upon. So therefore, this is a great benefit, and it's called mudarat, yudarihi. Yani al-mudarat is one of a person who will be courteous or kind to somebody in order to be safe from their harm. In order to be safe from their harm. He will not sacrifice his religion or anything from the affairs of his deen or compromise any aspect of obedience to Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will simply smile and he will say a nice word and then he will leave. And he will leave in this manner. He will leave in this manner. So this is considered al-mudarat. And this is from the noble manners of a Muslim. And he will use it in this manner with the foul people. And likewise, he will have mudarat with his brothers. And in courtesy and kindness. And sometimes maybe he's in a rush and he has to go. But he will bump into one of his brothers. He will not just leave him and the likes. Brother, he will stop and he will, even in his hastiness, he will give him time and smile in his face and ask about his family. And then excuse himself in a nice manner like this. And this is called mudarat. And this is from the beautiful manners of a believer, but especially it's beneficial to have in cases like this and dealing with people of evil. Whenever one, if he were to meet him in that manner, some people they have authority, or if you reprimand them, it will not help. It will only cause the situation to become worse. So therefore, a person, he just wants to get away from them and be safe from their harm, yani, in the easiest way. So therefore, he will smile and he will say hello, yani, like this, and listen to the need, and then move, just as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam he did. Whenever he seen him coming, he said, "Oh, bisa akhul ashira." This is the worst of the people from his tribesmen. But then whenever he came to the door, he said, "Idhanu lahu," let him in. And then he spoke to him and he talked to him and he smiled with him, and then the man left. He took care of his need. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this issue here. And this is the point of the author, that there are individuals that one will leave them, and he will not like them, and he will not want to be around them, and he will not want to be around them because of his tongue, because of the words that he says and the manner that he speaks and the affairs that he's involved in. So this is the issue here. Yani that some people, they are like that. Some people, they are like that. They have fuhsh on their tongue. They have fuhsh on their tongue. After this, the author, he mentions another chapter, and it's directly related. He says, Bab al-Bada' wal-Fuhsh. Bab al-Bada' wal-Fuhsh. The chapter of al-Bada' wal-Fuhsh. The word Bada' yani, it means indecency. And many times it's with regards to the person's tongue. يعني بذا يبذو يعني بذاء that his tongue وأيضا أبذا يبذي that his tongue يعني is foul. He will say words of indecency with بذاء يعني a lowly tongue, a tongue that speaks about lowly and disgusting or affairs that are from the worst of the affairs يعني and they're foul and indecent. And likewise in فحش it has a similar meaning. Yani because al-fuhsh, and it comes in the text, al-fuhsh, wal-fahisha, wal-fawahish, wal-fahsha. These words, they have similar meanings, and they include all aspects of sins that have gone to the peak of indecency and foulness. Yani the sin al-mutanahi fi al-ma'asi, yani the sins that are just yani going to yani the limits with regards to indecency and foulness and wickedness. These sins are called fuhsh or fahsha or fahisha or fawahish. And many times it's used to refer to zina, but it's not restricted to zina. So the fuhsh can be with the tongue, and likewise it can be in the actions. But whenever we see here, like in this chapter title, the word al-badha coupled with fuhsh, al-badha is going to be referring to the affairs of the tongue, the indecent and the lowly and the despicable affairs of the tongue and the speech in this manner, and then al-fuhsh is going to be with regards to the actions, and Allah knows best. So the author, he says, "Bab al-Bada'i wal-Fuhsh wa qawli Allahi ta'ala," in the statement of Allah the Most High, "Walladina la yashhaduna azur, wa marru bil-lagwi marru kirama," and those who do not witness, la yashhaduna azur, they do not witness azur, azur yani al-Badil. They don't witness this. لا يشهدون لا يحضرون له لا يحضرون مجالس الباطل لا يشهدون الزور. They don't witness that, meaning that they don't attend the gatherings of falsehood. They don't attend the gatherings of falsehood and the gatherings of evil, the gatherings of falsehood nor the gatherings of evil. وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما, and if they pass by vain and foul speech, they pass by in a noble manner. Again, the author, he's referring to those verses in Surah Al-Furqan, clarifying the attributes of Ibad al-Rahman, the true slaves and servants of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he has begun a number of chapters in this manner with some of these verses, different verses according to the chapter topic here with regards to the tongue. And yani that these individuals that are righteous and pious and those who are obedient to Allah, and they're known to be upright upon steadfastness and obedience, then from their manners that they don't even witness the gatherings of indecency, and they don't even sit in the gatherings of falsehood whenever there are statements of evil and statements of indecency or vulgarness being mentioned. They don't even attend these affairs. Many of the scholars of tafsir have mentioned from the meanings of this لا يشهدون الزور that they do not witness the gatherings of zur. They mentioned the pagan holidays and the holidays of the Jews and the Christians. And it's very suitable for our days now to know that those holidays of the Jews and the Christians and the pagans, all of the holidays besides the holidays that are legislated in Islam, they're all false and they are foul and they are evil and they are wicked. Some of them are worse than others, but all of them, they share in that. And they are majalis al-zur al-batil, and they are gatherings of falsehood and evil. Gatherings of falsehood and celebrations of falsehood and evil. A believer, he will not partake in that whatsoever. He will not aid, assist, or partake in that whatsoever. Rather, he will free himself from that. And this is the way of a Muslim. He will establish the Tawheed, and from that, and yabra'a min ash-shirki wa ahlihi, that he will be free. He will be free from shirk and his people. He'll be free from shirk in his people. And even like from that, being free from wickedness and evil and foulness in his people likewise. So it's not allowed to sit in the people of falsehood in their gatherings, the people of shirk, or the people of disbelief, or the people of innovation likewise, to sit in their gatherings, nor the people of fisq and corruption, and the people who are speaking about the indecent and foul affairs from the affairs of the dunya likewise. It's not permissible to sit in these gatherings. And from the traits of the righteous and the pious and those who are the beloved slaves of Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, they do not sit in the gatherings of Zur. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, and if they pass by these affairs, and he passed by people delving in vain speech, or in foul speech, or in indecent speech, or the likes of these gatherings, they pass by with nobility. Meaning they do not meet their ignorance with ignorance, or their indecency with indecency. Rather, they move in a manner that they will be safe from sin. And they will pass by that with honor and dignity, and they will not delve in. And they will leave that affair. So if a person is involved in foul and indecent speech, a believer, he will leave him. He will leave him and he will go to another gathering. He will leave that gathering. If he's involved in foul and indecent speech from the affairs of the dunya, from the affairs of the dunya, speaking about women or speaking about that which is impermissible and so on and so forth, or backbiting the people and carrying tales about the people, all of this, or speaking about the affairs that are haram and the likes like this, all of this, a believer, he will not attend that. He will leave from that. He will reprimand them if he has courage and if he has knowledge. And at very minimum, he will leave them. At very minimum, he will leave them in that. And if it was with regards to the affairs of the deen, then the obligation is even greater. Then the obligation is even greater. If they're sitting and there are people backbiting the scholars, and if the known scholars of Ahl Sunnah, the upright scholars who are known from the people of the Sunnah, and they're speaking ill of them and belittling them, he will never sit in the type of this gathering. He will never sit in the type of this gathering. Would he ever be there? Or if they are speaking about the rulers and the likes like this, likewise, he would not sit in this type of gathering. Gathering with the people of wickedness and evil who have hatred for the people of knowledge, or they are in opposition to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are just examples. These are just examples. And in any case, these gatherings, he will not witness them. He will not witness them. So the point is here, وَمَئِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. They don't have zuhr, they don't have batil in their speech, and they don't even sit in those gatherings. And whenever they pass by people involved in that, they do not get involved in it whatsoever. Rather, they remain in a manner of dignity and nobility. And from that is that they guard their tongue from delving in the likes of what they have delved in, from evil and from falsehood. From evil and from falsehood. After this, the author, he says, and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu marfu'a, that the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنِ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا اللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ وَلَا الْبَذِيءِ حَسَّنَهُ التِّرْمِذِي حَسَّنَهُ التِّرْمِذِي. So the author, he mentioned here the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا اللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ وَلَا الْبَذِيءِ. That a believer, al-mu'min kamil al-iman, and this is with regards to the believer who has complete faith, from the perfection of faith. And the perfection of iman is to preserve and protect the tongue from these affairs. So a believer, he's not like this. Laysa bit-ta'an. He's not ta'an. Ta'an is also any ism mubalagha. This is the one who yat'ani yukthiru ta'an wal-waqiyya fi nas. The one who is always finding fault with people. طَعَنَ يَطْعَنُ literally it means to stab somebody or to poke somebody like this. تَطْعَنُ فِيهِ like this. But here what is طَعَن فِي إِرْضِهِ يعني to find fault with his reputation and his honor and to speak bad about him and to pick out his faults and to blame him. A believer, he's not like this. لَيْسَ بِالطَّعَن. He's not always finding fault and talking bad about the people. He's not like this. A believer, he's not like this. So the people who are like that, they're not believers. What does that mean? He's a Muslim, huh? If we understand the intent here, he has deficiency in the obligation of faith. Meaning he is a Muslim, but his deen is weak. He's a believer, but his belief is weak. He could even be from Ahl Sunnah, but his obedience to Allah and his Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is weak. And his following, likewise, of the pious predecessors is weak, because they are not like that likewise. فالمؤمن ليس بالطعان. A believer, he's not like this. He's not like this. A person, he will hear these narrations and believe in them and then follow them. And he's looking into himself. Looking into himself, especially in the society that we live in, that many people, they have become wallahu musta'an, praiseworthy in the eyes of individuals because of الطعن في الناس. Some people, if they want to raise their self, they will just start speaking ill about individuals. And there are certain individuals, if they pick them and choose them, in some gatherings, they'll be the most noble of individuals, like the scholar of Ahl Sunnah, that had been known for years. They can't wait. They'll pick one of them out and name him by his name, and then speak ill of him, and the rest of the people around him will like him even more. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And then he will mention somebody else's name from the blameworthy people, and he will praise him, and then after that, those people will like him even more. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And this is from ignorance. From ignorance. And then many times these individuals, they don't even know the conditions of wudu. Or you know, if you ask them about juz amma yatasaalun, they don't even know what you're talking about. What is that? And did you memorize the last juz of the Quran? Like this, but they will speak about the greatest affairs and the greatest issues in the deen, but they themselves had not memorized anything, and many of them do not know alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, kha. Wallahu musta'an. This is something that is very blameworthy. It's very blameworthy. So a believer, he will look at these narrations and he will look at the people around him, and yukuna basiran bi zamanihi wa ahli zamanihi. He will have insight with the days that he lives in and the people in his society that he is around. And those who are upon the straight path, upon knowledge and action, these are the ones that he will follow and that he will accompany. And as for those people who claim that, but it's not seen in their actions, rather it is contrary in their actions. Laysa bitta'an. Oh, this person is ta'an, subhanAllah. He will stop hanging out with them. He will stop hanging out with them. It's better to have no friends than to have bad friends. It's better to have no friends than to have bad friends. لِأَنَّ الصَّاحِب sahib. Because the companion, he is going to drag you and pull you along with him, whatever he's involved in. If he's involved in good, he will pull you along into that good. But if he's involved in evil, then he will pull you along with him into that. المؤمن ليس بالطعان. A believer, he's not always finding fault with the people and speaking ill of the people and belittling the people and talking bad about the people. وَلَا لَعَانَ And also a believer, he's not لَعَانَ, somebody that curses the people a lot. That's cursing the people a lot. And he's making dua against them. The first one is talking bad about them and speaking ill about them and picking their faults out. And the second one is making dua against them. A believer, he's not like this and he's not like that. وَلَا الْفَاحِشْ وَلَا الْبَذِي And he's also not fahish, and he's not al-badhi. And fahish is the one who is indecent and vulgar here in his actions and his manners and his dealings. And also he's not al-badhi. Al-badhi, yani the one who has a lowly tongue, speaking about the lowly affairs and the indecent affairs. So this is the case. A believer, he's not like that. Rather, he's contrary to that. A believer, he will say that which is good, or he will be silent. And he will only speak about the affairs that concern him. And he will not be cursing the people and making dua against the people. Rather, a believer, he makes dua for the people. And this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many times there are individuals who will be doing something that is not praiseworthy. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll make dua for them. He'll make dua for them and not against them. Although he made dua against a number of people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it came to the issue that anyone, he'll make dua for the people. The one he should make dua for the people. If he sees people in on a bad way, he should not make dua against them. In any case, to make the la'an of them, to say la'anahu Allah, or la'ana fulan, and the likes like this, this is not permissible. And fuhsh in the actions and in the tongue, likewise, this is all from the foul way. Whether a believer, he will have good manners and noble conduct, and a believer, he will have beautiful speech, and this is contrary. Yani the one who has foul manners, then he has foul speech. And the one who has a weak deen, then he has a tongue that is vulgar and vain and is indecent. This is the case. After this, the author, he mentioned, وَلَهُ يَعْنِي وَلِي تِرْمِذِي وَصَحَّحَهُ عَنْ أَبِي الدَّرْدَى عَنْ أَبِي الدَّرْدَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا Also narrated by al-Tirmidhi, رحمه الله, from the hadith of أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ في ميزان المؤمن يوم القيامة من حسن الخلق ما من شيء أثقل في ميزان المؤمن يوم القيامة من حسن الخلق وإن الله يبغض الفاحش البذيء الذي يتكلم بالفحش. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that there is nothing heavier in the scale of a believer on the day of resurrection than good manners. There's nothing heavier in the scale of a believer on the day of resurrection than good manners, good and noble manners. Again, beginning with Allah Azza wa Jal, with the Tawheed of Allah and the obedience to Allah, and likewise to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then after that, dealing with the people, wanting good for them and hoping good for them, and likewise controlling one's tongue. Controlling one's tongue. And this is in contrast here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there's nothing heavier in the scale of a believer on the day of resurrection than noble and good manners. And verily, Allah, He detests al-fahish al-badhi, the one who speaks with indecency and vulgarness. Verily, Allah, He detests. And this is in contrast. That which is heavy in the scales with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, the heaviest thing for a believer on that day are His noble manners. On the other hand, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضُ الْفَاحِشَ الْبَذِيءَ الَّذِي يَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْفُحْشِ. In verity, Allah, He detests al-bughd, yani al-kurh al-shadid. Al-bughd is to detest something. Verily, Allah, He detests the one who is al-fahish. The one who is al-fahish, and he is foul, and al-badhi, and the one who is lowly, and decent and vulgar in his speech and in his actions. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified, الَّذِي يَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْفُحْشِ, the one who speaks with indecency and vulgarness. The one who speaks with indecency and vulgarness. So we see that on one hand, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's mentioning that which is heavy in the scales. And that is the noble and the good manners. And the righteous deeds, they're heavy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been narrated by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about this. Yani, to keep it in contrast, كَرِمَتَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ كَرِمَتَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِزَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ لِلرَّحْمَنِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. That there are two statements that are light on the tongue and they're heavy in the scales and they are beloved to Ar-Rahman. And that is to say, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim. Subhanallahi al-Azim. So this is from the noble manners and from the good manners to glorify Allah and to praise Him with the tongue, to glorify Allah and to glorify His Tawheed, to free Him from all deficiency and to free Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in creed and belief from everything that is not befitting for Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to glorify Him above all defects and all faults. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, to praise Him and to mention Him with the praise coupled with love and believing that He has the attributes of perfection alone, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He is the greatest. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim. Kalimatani khafifatani ala lisan. Two statements that are light on the tongue. Thaqilatani fil mizan, and they're heavy in the scale. Habibatani lirrahman, and they are beloved to Ar-Rahman. So this is in contrast here. The noble manners, they're the heaviest thing in the scale. And Allah, He detests and He hates the one who is lowly and baseless and foul and indecent and speaks with vulgar and foul and vain speech. And this is in contrast, because that which is good and that which is wholesome and that which is beloved to Allah is heavy in the scales. And that which is foul and that which is evil and that which is considered falsehood and vulgar, it has no weight in the scales. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. Allah, He mentioned about those disbelievers and those people who have worked actions of falsehood, even though they thought they were upon something, that Allah will not give them any weight. They will have no weight with Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of resurrection. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. They will have no weight whatsoever. So this is the case. That which is beloved to Allah is heavy. It's heavy in the scale of a believer, or the one who performs it sincerely. And that which is considered foul and vulgar and vain and falsehood and evil, it has no weight and it has no benefit for a person in the hereafter. After this, the author, he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنْ عَائِشَةَ وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا مَرْفُوعًا. And also, it has been narrated from or collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the Haditha Aisha رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. And this is an amazing narration. إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. يعني that الرفق, it means gentleness. It means gentleness. It means kindness. It means courtesy. It means not hastening. This is the meaning of rifq. Al-rifq, yani, the people of knowledge, they say, al-leen wa-suhula wa-ta'anni fi al-umur wa-tamahul fiha. That a person, yani, that has rifq, he has gentleness, he has kindness and courtesy, and is easy, and he's not hasty in dealing with the affairs. He takes his time. He takes his time in dealing with the affairs. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying that verily rifq, this affair of gentleness and calmness and courtesy, being nice and not being hasty, being nice, taking one's time and not being hasty, this issue here will not be in anything at all except for it will adorn it and make it better. Illa zanahu, yani min azayn. Azayn is to beautify it and to make it beautiful and to make it good. And it's not stripped or taken or removed from anything except for it made it the opposite. The opposite of zayn is shame. Yani to be disfigured and to be disgraced and to be ugly. So there's no situation. There's no situation except that by using gentleness and not being hasty in that situation will bring the situation goodness and make it better. And there's no situation that is removed from. Meaning a person, he will start, the opposite of rifq, yani al-unf wa-shidda, yani violence, and to be harsh. And also to be quickly, to move quickly, yani taish, recklessness, to be reckless, and to be harsh, to be rude, and to be mean. Yani the gentleness, the rifq, is not taken from anything except for it will make it ugly. It will make the situation bad. It will make the situation yani ugly. And this is the case. This is the case. So if a person, he wants to make his affair good, he has to have rifq. He has to be gentle. He has to think before he moves. He has to yani recollect the affair and take the best means to achieve what he's hoping for, to think about that first. And if not, then the situation is going to be bad. And if not, then the situation is going to be bad. It's very important for a man, particularly a woman likewise, but a man in his home to know these affairs and dealing with the problems in the house from those under one's care with rifq. And this is any from the greatest means of success and having harmony and goodness in the home. Because in the home specifically, everything is not always going right. And there's no family that has no problems. And there's always issues and trials and disputes between whether the spouses or the children and the likes like this. But the issue which determines the success and the goodness in the home and the ease and the peace in the house and the love is how those affairs are dealt with. So we take it to this hadith. It's a foundation on how to deal with the family. And I mentioned the affairs of the family many times in its general, but specifically the family, because if we rectify ourselves and our families, then our community will be strong and will be a means to benefit the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together. So by rectifying yourself and rectifying your family, this is a means of strengthening the ummah. And if the ummah is families, and families are individuals, mothers and fathers, what are you going to do? SubhanAllah, I just remember recently one of my companions, they sent me a benefit from Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah ta'ala, that his daughter mentioned about him, that whenever he started getting gray hairs in his beard, he said to himself, what have I done for al-Islam? What have I done for al-Islam? And at least we can rectify our families and be a means to curing the problem and to curing the humiliation that has befallen us because of disobedience and the humiliation and the degradation that has fallen the ummah because of having no concern or care for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the obedience of Allah. And in beginning with ourselves and in our homes and in the means to rectify the problems in the homes, many situations, they go back to understanding this affair, the affair of gentleness. Yani, so إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. That being gentle and not being hasty and being kind and courteous and not being harsh and rude is never in, it would never be put in a situation except it makes that situation better. And it's never stripped from a situation except for it will make that situation ugly and worse. Ugly and worse. This is the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, a believer, he tried to be easy with the people. He tried to be good with the people. That doesn't mean he'll be a pushover and he will allow disobedience to occur blatantly in his home. No, he will check that. But how does he check that? He will check that. But how does he check that? With rifq, with wisdom, with beautiful preaching. If there's something or a hot situation, sometimes he'll wait and let it cool down and then he'll address it. Or he'll wait if there's problems going on between a number of individuals in the household, he will wait until they're all done and he'll catch one by himself and address it, and the other one by himself and address it. And at different times, at different situations, even it's been recommended from the Salaf that sometimes a man, he will take his children and separate them. He will take his children, one time he will take one child out for the day by himself and to get the child away from the other children. And then he will be busy that child and benefit that child and then come back, and the next time he'll take another child away so that they have time, and especially if they're living in the home together and they're facing each other, and sometimes they will start fighting and quarreling a lot with the children. So from the means of fixing that is to take them away from each other. The father, he will take one out. Sometimes he'll take them out together. Other times he'll take one at a time out and speak to them as individuals and talk to them and advise them, and then the next time take another one out, and then another time take them all out together, so on and so forth like that. And then cultivating and raising the child. Cultivating and raising the child, and addressing those issues before, reminding them of Allah Azza wa Jal and the promise of the hereafter, and the importance of holding fast to obedience, and the outcome of the disobedient, and the like this. And the children have to be cultivated with rifq. SubhanAllah, even whenever the people of God, as they discuss the attributes and characteristics of the da'i and the caller to Allah, the one who is going to be involved in calling to Allah, from the first attributes they mention, along with the ikhlas and sidq and al-amal bil-ilm, they're going to mention the issue here, rifq, from the very first thing that they will mention. The characteristics of a caller to Allah after having knowledge and application and being sincere and truthful is that they will be gentle. They will be gentle in that which they command, and they will be gentle in that which they prohibit, and the likes like this. So after this, the author, he says, what it Tirmidhi, wa hasanahu an ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu marfu'a, and also collected by Tirmidhi, and he has declared it to be hasan, meaning it's an authentic narration from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ala ukhbirukum biman yahrumu ala an-nar aw tahrumu alayhi an-nar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, shall I not inform you of the one who is prohibited from the fire? Yani, or the fire who's prohibited from him. Yani, both of them have the same meaning. Yani, the one who will not enter the fire. Shall I not inform you about the one who will not enter the fire? And this is the manner, from the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in teaching. It's called yani uslub al-tashwiq. And it has a number of methodologies to do this, but it's drawing the person who's listening, drawing his attention and making him yearn and hope to hear what's coming next. So if you heard this now, what do you think? And should I not inform you of the one who is prohibited from the fire, or the one that the fire is prohibited from him, and he will not be touched by the fire? Should I not inform you of him? What do you do now? You're waiting. The heart is waiting now. What? Tell us, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, تحرم على كل قريب هين سهل. تحرم على كل قريب هين سهل. That the fire is prohibited from every person who is near. And near to the people. And near to the people. Contrary to the previous chapter, huh? The person who is known with the foul tongue, and the person who is known for indecency and vulgarness, he's known for that. He's not near to the people. Rather, the people can't wait to get away from him. Rather, the people can't wait to get away from him. Or they'll do whatever they can, smile to him and be nice to him, maybe even give him some money just to get away from him. Just to get away from him. So contrary to that, the one who the fire is prohibited from, yani he's close to the people, he's near to the people, he's dealing with the people, he's mixing with the people, he's helping the people, he's bearing the burden of the people, or he's bearing the hardships from the people. He's not harming the people likewise. Hayyin sahal, yani he's easy. He's easy to deal with. He's easy. If he advises you, he advises you in an easy manner, in a good way. And if you advise him and he accepts it from you in an easy manner, in a good way. And if some people, if they advise, they advise in the harshest and the rudest way. They advise in the harshest and the rudest way. Others, when they're advised themselves, they become arrogant and boastful. And now you have an enemy if you advise him with the smallest thing. And the manner like this, this is not the way. So therefore we see that from the means of being safe from the punishment of the hellfire is that a person, he will be easy with the people. And he'll be easy to deal with likewise. Yani going both ways, if he's giving or he's taking. Whenever he's giving or he's taking, he's easy to deal with. And it's not hard to deal with him, to get something from him, whether it is aid or support or help or finances or whatever the case it may be. Yani to get something from him is easy to deal with him. And even if he's not able to give it, he will excuse himself in the best manner and clarify his excuse in a good way. And likewise, if it's given to, if one is giving him advice or directing him, he's easy to deal with, and he will accept that, yani, without being boastful or arrogant and proud. And this is all from the means of being safe from the hellfire, of being safe from the hellfire. And again, these affairs, yani, they begin in a person's home. And if a person is able to manage himself with rifq and to think before he acts in his home, then dealing with the people that he sees from time to time will be even easier for him. If he can manage to do this in his home with the people who he sees daily, whenever he's tired and whenever he's hungry, and the likes like this, any of the times whenever he will be tried the most, and his manners and his conduct, if he can manage to fear Allah with this affair, in this affair, then dealing with the rest of the people, from the brothers and the companions and the co-workers and the likes like this, and the people that one has to deal with daily, it will be even easier and even easier. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi, wa ana khayrukum li ahlihi." The best of you are the best to his family, yani to his wife, to his wife. Yani, and I'm the best, and I'm the best of you to his wife, to his family, to his family. Yani li nisa'ihi, to his wives, like this. Because the person who is able to manage that properly, and everybody has faults, but yani the one who is striving, his faults are fewer and shorter and less severe. Unless severe. As for if a person is not striving, then the faults will be greater and more severe, and the problems will be larger and heavier and longer lasting. Waliyadu billah. So therefore, having rifq. Yani after this, the author, he says, Wali Muslimin an Jarir. Wali Muslimin an Jarir. Also narrated by Al-Imam Muslim from the Haditha Jarir Ibn Abdullah Al-Bajri radiallahu anhu. He says here, man, يحرم الرفقة يحرم الخير كله. Yani this is actually, yani he should say مرفوعا. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this. Yani in Sahih Muslim, من يحرم الرفقة يحرم الخير كله. That whoever is prohibited الرفقة, yani يحرم يعني الحرمان, then he's prohibited all of the good. Whoever is prohibited, he did not have رفق. He was not able to have رفق. He was not able to have gentleness and kindness and courtesy. He was not able to have forbearance and patience in dealing with the people. And he became hasty and harsh and rude. And again, the opposite of rifq is al-unf wa shidda. Yani to be harsh, to be rude, to be mean, yani to be hasty. And the likes like this. Whoever did not have the rifq, then he will be prohibited from all of the good. He will be prohibited from all of the good. Not just from the good, but rather from all of the good. So that means that all of the good lies in being and being gentle. And being kind and courteous and not being hasty and not being reckless, all good lies here. Because if the one who does not have that, then he is prohibited from all of the good. So therefore, all of the good lies in this affair here. Having rifq, having gentleness, having calmness, having a sound of mind and dignity and thinking before one he speaks and he acts, and weighing out the affairs and not being hasty and not being reckless and not running his mouth immediately whenever his emotions come, and he thinking before that and holding himself and checking his tongue and likewise his hands and his actions before he speaks, and then he'll think about the best way, yani, to move and to take the situation and to adjust the affair and to rectify the mistake or the problem at hand and the likes like this, he will have wisdom. Likewise, it's been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, also collected in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told her, "Inna Allaha rafiqun yuhibbu rifqa fi al-amri kulli." That verily Allah, he's rafiq, he's the most gentle and kind. subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he loves the gentleness and kindness in every affair. In this narration here, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقُ وَيُعْطِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ وَمَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى مَا سِوَاهُ. This is a narration here with a great benefit. With a great benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily Allah, he is Rafiq. And he is, and that's one of his names, Ar-Rafiq, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that from his attributes is Rifq. And he's described with that gentleness and kindness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not being hasty in the affairs in a manner befitting his majesty. In a manner befitting his majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's described with Rifq, tabaraka wa ta'ala. But then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَيُعْطِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ وَمَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى مَا سِوَاهُ. That Allah, he will give, yani he will bring about, because of gentleness and not being hasty, that which he does not give or bring about because of harshness and rudeness and violence, and that which he does not give based upon anything else. So many times we will see that a person, why would he be harsh with somebody? Why would he be rude with somebody? Many times. Sometimes, for example, he will ask somebody to do something, they don't do it. So then what does he do? He'll be harsh to them or be rude to them. And the likes like this, in order to do what? To get them to do it. The person who has unf, and the one who has shiddah, he's trying to get something. He's trying to get something. He's trying to get a point across. He's trying to get somebody to perform something. He's trying to get somebody to do something. So therefore, be harsh to them or rude to them. And the likes like this. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah, he gives by way of rif that which he does not give by way of umf. So if you're trying to get something, then don't do it by way of umf and harshness and rudeness and being hasty. Rather do it by way of rif, because Allah, he gives in this manner. Allah, he gives in this manner. So Allah, the affair is in the hand of Allah. So to give what he wants, you have to follow his legislation and his deen. And Allah, he gives in this manner that which he does not give by harshness or by rudeness or by violence and the likes like this. So therefore, a believer, again, he remembered that. I want to get this point across. How can I do it? Not by being rude. Not by being rude. And not by being harsh. And this is the asl and the foundation and the base, yani, that a person, he will base his actions and his dealings upon. But there are circumstances whenever it's required to be harsh. So this is not in every situation, in every circumstance. But a believer, he has to have wisdom and know that the foundation in dealing with the people is with gentleness and kindness and not being hasty. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.